It isn't a friend of Gladys Sabisco's, kid is.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Phil Baker, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pyers as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, the Tenderleaf Workshop Players, the DeMarco Sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And if you're wondering who plays Senator Claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. This week, ladies and gentlemen, Bing Crosby's sponsor started suit to get Bing to go back on the air. Tonight, we bring you a man whose sponsor is thinking of starting suit to get him off the air, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I was reading about that Bing Crosby suit. You know, I don't really think that Bing wants to work. I hear he's moving to Stamford. Well, we're off to a nice dull start. Anything that happens from now on will be a highlight.
Well, what about your sponsor, Fred?
Well, our sponsor thinks, I believe he thinks we're a little behind the times with our show, Kenny.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, all of the other radio programs don't bother with entertainment anymore. They're just giving things away. Jack Benny's giving away $10,000. Bob Hope's giving away Jeeps. And Red Skelton is giving away automobiles.
Yeah, well, don't you think you should give something away, Fred?
I was just going to announce it, Kenny. Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Starting next week, to every person who wins an automobile on Red Skelton's program, I will give a road map. I'll even open it. If the party's 2 weeks, I'll even open the road map.
Well, that ought to cause plenty of talk.
Yes. And it's the kind of talk I don't want to be around to hear, Kenny. I have enough trouble the way things are. Well, Portland. Kenny and I were just talking about radio programs giving things away.
Oh, radio is wonderful.
Well, how do you mean?
My uncle was on a program called Blind Date.
Oh, what happened?
His number was called, and he had to take out a chorus girl.
I see.
Next day, they both went on a program called People Are Funny, and he proposed to her.
He did, huh?
Then they went on a program called Honeymoon in New York and got married over 150 stations.
150 stations, good.
Then they went on Truth or Consequences and won enough furniture for their house.
They lived happily ever after?
No, they went on Battle of the Sexes and had a big fight.
Well, is the marriage off?
Well, we won't know until tomorrow.
Well, what's tomorrow?
They're on Mr. Anthony's program.
They have completed their happy kilo cycle, in other words. But you know, you can almost get anything in radio today.
But sometimes things go wrong.
Well, how do you mean?
Mama wrote a limerick for the National Barn Dance Contest.
And something went wrong?
Instead of the first prize of 100 bottles of Alka-Seltzer...
Yeah?
They sent her two hillbillies.
Two hillbillies. Well, how did your mother, with her broken lorgnette... No, the mother with that limp lorgnette that hangs down so she can't look through it. How did she know the difference?
Well, she put one of the hillbillies in water.
And?
He didn't fizz.
Oh, well, that would give it away. Probably made the water good and dirty, though. But speaking of fizzes, reminds me, we better start thinking of getting along to see those old familiar fizzes down in Allen's Alley.
What is your question for tonight?
Well, Portland, this week the New York movie critics made their annual awards for the outstanding films and performances of 1945. And so this evening our question is, if you are a movie fan, what pictures and performances impressed you most during the past year?
Shall we go?
As the druggist said when he had a headache, I think I'll take a powder. Well, Portland, here we are back in Allen's Alley. Say, the senator's home tonight. His hound dog is curled up there under the porch. See it?
Somebody, I say, somebody knocks.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
I know. You're from Dixie.
When I eat crackers in bed, I only eat Georgia crackers.
Now, wait a minute.
And when I leave New York, I always take the South Ferry.
Now, wait a minute.
Way down. down upon the Swanee River.
Look, you're a little...
I'm singing Swanee song.
Well, I know what you're singing.
Show some reverence, son. Kneel down and uncover.
Now, wait.
Stop eating your gum, son.
Now, just let me
talk for a change. Change, that is.
You let me get a word in.
You keep chattering, son.
I don't even get a chance.
Your tongue is going like a cow's tail in fly time.
Now, wait. While you're taking in a little wind, Senator, do you mind if I intersperse something in here? What was Washington's reaction to the choice of the most popular movie stars?
We took our own poll in Congress.
You did?
Everybody was talking all at once. Even Senator Brooks was babbling.
Yuck, yuck.
Babbling Brooks, that's a joke.
I know it.
I don't care. There's a Savannah Socceroo.
Look, I don't care.
I crack wires and you look dumb.
I'm looking at
the... Hold up, son. You're subnormal. Sub, that is.
Now, wait. Be careful how low you go, even in water, Senator. Now, you watch that sub stuff. Now, look, about these Hollywood stars. Are you a movie fan?
I quit going to movies, son.
Well, why?
Last picture I saw made my down yonder blood boil.
Your down yonder blood was boiling, eh? Well, what happened?
At the end of the picture, Ann Southern married Cary Grant.
But why?
I couldn't stand to see another Grant taking anything Southern.
Go on, sir. So long, sir. So long, Senator. So long, Senator. Well, goodbye, Senator. So long. Well, the senator must have just finished dinner. I smelled a little hog jowl on his breath. Oh, well, I wonder, let's get along down the alley. I wonder what Titus Moody has on his mind tonight.
Howdy, Bob.
Mr. Moody, you look a little weary tonight.
Yeah, I've had tough sledding all week.
Well, why should you have tough sledding?
No snow.
Oh, well. Tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about these movie awards?
Boris Karloff should have won.
You think that he's the best actor?
No, it ain't his acting.
Well, what makes you such an ardent Karloff fan?
Well, I'll tell you. I got a big wart on my Adam's apple.
Oh, a wart, eh?
Yeah, it's right here under my collar button.
I see it there.
When I put on my collar, the collar button presses against the wart.
Yeah?
The wart presses against my Adam's apple.
Uh-huh.
I'm in agonizing pain.
Oh, with what?
The only pleasure I've had for 10 years, I owe Boris Karloff.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, when I go into the theater, my collar button is pressing against the wart.
Yeah?
The wart's pressing against my Adam's apple.
Uh-huh.
I'm in agonizing pain.
Yes?
Then Boris Karloff comes on the screen.
Yes?
My flesh starts to creep.
Yes?
The wart creeps up over my collar.
Yes?
I can't explain the feeling. It's utopia.
When the picture is over...
Then the wart creeps back down. The collar button starts pressing. I'm in agonizing pain again.
Well, as far as you and your wart are concerned, outside of Boris Karloff...
All them other Hollywood actors is just a pain in the neck. So long, Bob.
So long. Well, when Boris Karloff is in town, Mr. Moody's wart is going places. Now, let's see what happens next door here.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Olivia de Helivar?
Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, are you a movie fan?
Not me, my husband, Pierre.
Oh, Pierre likes pictures, huh?
Every day you're seeing movies, always in Technicolor.
Oh, Technicolor, huh?
To Pierre, every picture is looking Technicolor.
Well, how come?
His eyes are bloodshot.
But don't seeing so many movies bother Pierre?
Always he is coming home with different personalities.
Well, how do you mean?
Pierre is seeing a picture with Ronald Coleman.
Yeah?
He is making with an English accent.
Oh, eh? Really?
He is opening the door and saying, "Was machst du, old crumpet?"
Was machst du, old crumpet, huh?
Also, sei gesund and cheerio.
And he's certainly cultured, what?
He is seeing in a picture Bingo or Crosby.
Yes.
Around the house, Pierre is singing.
I see.
Then Pierre is seeing Bob Hope.
Yes.
He is making with rice crackles.
Well, say, with such a versatile husband, you must be very happy.
I am getting a divorce.
Well, why?
Last week, Pierre is seeing in a picture Tarzan.
So?
He is refusing to leave home.
You mean you can't get him into the house?
I can't get him down from the tree.
Well, here we are at the last shack in Allen's Alley. I wonder what a knock will bring here.
Sound the trumpets, round me rally, Falstaff's back in Allen's Alley.
Falstaff, open show. Welcome again, Falstaff. Happy homecoming.
Thank you, old boy.
Where have you been?
I have been enjoying a sabbatical on the Bowery.
Oh, you... You've been coining new dactyls?
Oh, indubitably.
Really?
Have you heard, said the bumblebee to the little flea, don't touch that stuff, it's DDT?
No.
Or, as the waiter said when he brought the horseradish, I hope that covers your beef.
No.
How about this? My mother is lonesome when she goes to a fire. LaGuardia isn't there, and neither is O'Dwyer.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait. Now. That is, you've overdone it finally, Falstaff. Tonight, we are simply discussing the Critics' Awards for the best films of 1945.
Precisely why I greyhounded it. I have contrived an epic.
A poem about the movie awards? What is it called?
The Forgotten Awards.
And how does it go?
Each year, the critics give awards to pictures and to actors. The direction and performances they term deciding factors. Paramount is cited, an award to Movie Tone, a plaque to Ingrid Bergman. Even Lassie gets a bone. I hail the movie industry, but I also must remind it that an award should be awarded to the man who is behind it. This guy makes Hollywood possible. He's not director, star, or picket. He's just the average man who digs down and buys a ticket.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you, Falstaff. Thank you. And from the rancid rhymes of Bard Openshaw, we turn to the refreshing refrains of the Five DeMarco sisters, accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his United Nations ensemble. The DeMarco sing The Moment I Met You.
Got the funniest feeling, didn't know what to do. See, my heart began reeling the moment I met you. Didn't know about kissing till I got it from you. Then a mama was missing the moment I met you. I looked around to touch the ground and found an Ola angel stopped where she had dropped right from out of the sky. Every night is Thanksgiving for a feeling that's new. I am left again living the moment I met you. I looked around to touch the ground, saw a bottle no lie, and angel stopped where she had dropped. Right from out of the sky, right from out of the sky, I sang hallelujah, when suddenly knew, I was brought right to ya. The moment I met you, the moment I met you, the very moment, the moment I met you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, something for the book.
Yes, here's one for the book about delicious food that's everybody's topic. Here's a swell dish for a cold winter day. Griddle cakes, golden brown piping hot griddle cakes with some crackling sausages to the side. And lots of Bluebonnet on top. Yes, I said Bluebonnet, the margarine that gives you flavor, nutrition, economy. All three. Bluebonnet has a delicious flavor, fresh, delicate, country sweet, and it keeps its delicate, delightful flavor even when half-melted on piping hot foods. Bluebonnet margarine is packed with nutrition, too. Rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, Bluebonnet saves you real money. It costs so little you can spread it on twice as thick. And boy, you'll want to. And don't forget, Bluebonnet margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. That fact alone tells you it must be good. Ask your grocer for Bluebonnet tomorrow. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three: flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was I Am Always Chasing Rainbows, another in the Maestro Al Goodman series of remnant rhapsodies. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Has that lawyer called me yet?
Lawyer? Are you in trouble?
Am I in trouble? All week I've been in more hot water than a slice of lemon in a Russian tea room. I am out on bail right now.
Gosh, what happened?
Well, you've read that line in some other program we've had. That's very reminiscent. Well, Portland, you want to know what happened? The whole thing started last Sunday night after the broadcast. You know, I generally go over to the Hamburger Hovel on 8th Avenue. For a nickel over there, they serve a hamburger as big as a catcher's mitt. Even a buckle in the back of the hamburger. They put the pickalilli on with a trowel. Well, I took a cab at Radio City, and we were driving along the street. We had gone a few blocks when the driver said...
You said the Hamburger Hovel, didn't you, Bud?
Yes, driver.
Okay. Hey, Miss Basie, as a time I didn't know what like, I'm as jumpy as a yo-yo on a string. Boy, can that Sinatra write music.
Say, driver, just a minute, driver. Stop the cab.
Okay. Something wrong, chump?
I just felt in my pocket. My wallet's gone. I must have left it at the studio.
You mean you ain't got no dough?
Well, I haven't any money with me.
This is a buck even. Get it up, Chisler.
Now, well, look, if you'll just take me back to Radio City...
So you can beat it out the other door, huh? I had that pull on me before, chump. Where's that crank handle?
Now, look, driver.
Come on, out of the cab. I'm going to crown you with this crank handle.
Now, wait a
take
minute.
Take this. You rat, you duck.
Now, don't lose your head, driver.
You broke my window.
I broke your window. You broke the window.
Well, if you'd have stood still, I'd have hit you.
Now, look.
$1 on the meter, $7 for the window. That's $8 you owe me.
Now, I'll pay you the money. Don't get excited. Your blood pressure will go up, driver. I'm Fred Allen.
Sure, and I'm Jack Benny. Look, no hair. Yeah. Quit stalling, wise guy. Give me $8.
Say, look, driver. Look, across the street there.
It's a radio studio, so what?
Well, that sign. It says, tonight, Phil Baker in Take It or Leave It.
So what?
Say, I've got an idea. Now, Phil Baker's program goes on the air in about 5 minutes. I'll go on Take It or Leave It. I'll change my name. Phil Baker won't even know who I am. I'll answer 4 of those easy questions. I'll quit with the $8. You'll have your money. Now, is it a deal?
Okay. But you better win, brother. I got insurance.
Insurance?
This crank handle's me insurance. Let's go.
All right. Well, Portland, the cab driver and I got into the radio studio just in time. Luck was with me. My number was called. I was chosen as a contestant. I was sitting on the stage. The cab driver was glaring at me from the front row when I heard the announcer say...
Presenting Take It or Leave It, starring Phil Baker. Yes, Take It or Leave It, the most exciting game you ever played. The game that doubles in interest with every question asked. The game with the giant jackpot. And now we give you the man with the $64 question, our paymaster of ceremonies, and here he is, Phil Baker.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the halls of Montezuma. Boy, there are plenty of people here tonight. I haven't seen such a crowd since the window shade in Betty Grable's dressing room fell down. But I really feel swell. You know, last Sunday night, Secretary Burns was pinch-hitting for me, answering some Russian $64 questions. So I went to Florida for a rest. Florida. Folks, there is a state. That's where the sun goes to get away from that California weather. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time to go to Florida, though. You go down there, your face is white. You get a great tan. You check out of the hotel, get your bill, and you turn white again. Those prices in Miami. I had a room overlooking a grapefruit for $18 a day. And speaking of grapefruit, here's our first contestant. What is your name, miss?
Shirley S. Gum.
Shirley S. Gum? What does the S stand for?
Spearman.
Where is your home, Shirley?
I live in Brooklyn. Thank you.
What is your occupation, Shirley?
I work in Bloomingdale's. I'm a laugher.
A laugher at Bloomingdale's?
Yeah, when women come in and ask for nylons, I laugh
at you. You laugh at them. I've heard of let a smile be your umbrella, but let a laugh be your nylons is a new one on me. Now, Miss Gum, what category have you selected from the board?
Popular music.
Good. Popular music. For $1, what is the name of this popular song? All right, what is the name of that popular song?
Popular? I never heard of it.
It's very popular.
It ain't in Brooklyn.
Now, think. What was that song? Chick, chick, chick.
Three chicks and a chuck?
No.
Chickory chick!
Yeah, I think I got it, Mr. Baker. Is it chickory chick?
Did you hear somebody yell that in the audience?
Did somebody yell something? As a haddock.
Yeah.
I was born with two cauliflower ears. My mother was in the Golden Globe.
She was. Well, all right. I'm going to give you the dollar. Would you like to try it with two?
Nah, give me the buck.
You're quitting?
Yeah, my boyfriend's a counterfeiter. He just wants a sample.
I see.
Go on.
Well, that brings us to our next contestant. And your name, sir?
Prentice Pontoon.
Prentice Pontoon, did you receive a present before you came up to the microphone?
Yes, sir. An ever-sharp fountain pen.
Right, and it's guaranteed not for years, not for life, but guaranteed forever.
Yes, sir.
You look a little nervous. Would you like a cup of tea?
I thought you served coffee, Mr. Baker.
Not on this program. You'll take tea or a drink of hot Blue Bonnet margarine.
No. No, no, thanks.
You say your name is...
Prentice Pontoon.
Did anyone ever tell you that you looked like Fred Allen?
Yes, I've been beaten up twice by radio listeners.
You've even got bags under your eyes like Alan.
Yes, I know.
What is your occupation, Mr. Pontoon?
I am an oculist in a fish market.
Hmm? Oculist in a fish market?
When they lay a lot of dead fish in a fish market window,
yes,
I check on their eyes to make sure the fish are all looking in the same direction.
Oh. I see.
If one fish is looking the other way, it throws the whole window off.
Yes. You're just working for the halibut.
Yes.
Now, you know, I get people on this program with the darndest occupation.
Really?
One guy works in a restaurant on 2nd Avenue. He's a lentil feeler.
A lentil feeler?
Yes. If you order lentil soup, he puts his hand in and feels your lentils. Yeah. He takes out the hard lentils so they won't hurt your gums.
That's messy work,
yes,
I should say.
That's a joke, sir. Another guy is a booster at the automat. When midgets come into the automat, he boosts them up so that they can see what dishes are in the top compartment.
Well, that's nice work, actually.
Another guy is a perfume advisor in a 5- and 10-cent store.
A perfume advisor?
Yes. When you take the top off a bottle, he tells you if what you smell is the perfume or another customer.
Oh, right. You have some odd characters on your program, Mr. Baker.
Tonight, especially. What would you like to talk about, Mr. Pontoon?
Well, I think...
How about movie stars, world history, music?
World history.
All right, Mr. Pontoon, for $1. Take it easy now.
Yes?
Who is the president of the United States? No coaching, please.
The president. He was on the radio last Thursday instead of Abbott and Costello.
That's right. He said to Congress, "You're bad boys." What's the president's name? Think now.
Herman Truman.
Well, that's close enough. Okay, you have a dollar. Quiet, please. No help from the audience. Do you want to try for $2, Mr. Pontoon?
He's better.
Well, what do you say?
Well, you heard him. I'll try for $2.
Good. When you see pictures of Napoleon with his hand inside of his coat, what modern cartoon character does he remind you of?
Itchy.
Itchy is correct. Right. You're a very intelligent young man.
He better be intelligent.
Quiet. Who is this character in the audience? A friend of yours?
The next two questions will decide.
Who was he waving that crank handle at?
Well, he ordered a new car, but so far the crank handle is all he's gotten from General Motors.
Okay, Mr. Pontoon, for $4, what brand of tea was used at the Boston Tea Party?
Tenderleaf tea.
Tenderleaf tea is absolutely correct. Now for $8, Mr. Pontoon, Why did Sitting Bull sit down?
Would you repeat the question, please, Mr. Bates?
For $8, why did Sitting Bull sit down?
He was waiting for the cows to come home.
No. You give up?
Well, I...
You'll be sorry!
His suspenders broke?
No. You don't know, do you?
Frankly, I don't, Mr.
Well,
Baker.
I'm sorry. Sitting Bull sat down because in those days there were so many things he couldn't stand for. See? Sorry, stand by for the giant jackpot.
Yes, sir, Mr. Baker. Well, Portland, after I lost the giant jackpot, too, and the program was over, I sneaked out the side door. The cab driver and the crank handle were waiting for me. I didn't have the money, so I offered him the fountain pen Phil Baker had given me. The cab driver said...
A fountain pen? First you chiseled me out of $8, now you want me to learn how to write, eh? Police!
Now, wait a minute, driver. This pen is worth $20. You'll be making $12. You can sell it to somebody.
You sell it to somebody. All I want is $8.
Okay. The people are coming out of the broadcast now. I'll go around in front of the theater and sell it to someone.
Me and the crank handle will be sitting in the cab waiting. Make it snappy.
Gad, what a predicament. At my age, a sidewalk peddler. Well, the audience is coming out. I'll try this guy here. Hey, buddy.
Yes?
I got a $20 fountain pen. It's yours for $8. Look, under my coat.
Look under my coat.
A badge. You're a detective.
Yeah, I've been looking for you, Black Market Mole.
But, officer...
First, it was fake almond bars with stones in them. Now it's hot fountain pens.
But I'm not Black Market Mole. I'm Fred Allen. I just got this fountain pen, and take it or leave it. Honest, look. Here's Phil Baker coming out of the theater. Phil can identify me. Phil. Hey, Phil.
Hello, Mr. Baker.
Hello, officer. What's the trouble?
Tell him who I am, Phil. You know me. I'm Fred Allen.
You know this character, Mr. Baker?
Yes, I know him.
Tell him who I am, Phil.
Why, he's Prentice Pontoon.
Phil. I'm Fred Allen on the radio.
You're an oculist in a fish market.
Howdy. Thanks, Mr. Baker. Come on, you.
But, Phil, don't let him take me to court. I'll have to do time.
You bet you will.
But I...
But for selling an Ebershaw pen on the street, you'll go to jail not for years, not for life, but forever.
Okay, Black Market Mo, let's go.
And now, Kenny, with a flattering word about the American woman.
All over the world, the American woman is famous for her beauty. Her home is the ideal in other lands, too, and the way she runs it. She is practical about her home, her appearance, her dress, all her shopping. And it's being so practical that makes her choose Tenderleaf tea balls over all others. Yes, Tenderleaf tea balls are better in every way. That's why they're the largest selling tea balls in America. They provide finer tea, rich in fragrance, richer in flavor, made with famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea. Their greater convenience is a big help, too. Individual packets of tasteless filter paper, crisp white and appealing, ready any time to drop into your cup for a cup of quick comfort when you need it most. That's all there is to it. Just add boiling water and your quick comfort is ready. Heartwarming, delicious, crystal clear Tenderleaf tea. So for every good reason, ask your grocer for Tenderleaf brand tea balls.
Thank you, Kenny. Thanks, Phil Baker. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, our guest will be the eminent Shakespearean actor and star of Hamlet, Maurice Evans. Thanks a lot for joining us and good night. Good night. Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.